hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Tuesday, September 6th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, back from a couple of weeks' break, some vacation and other things going on. Happy to be back. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Doug_Reed34. This is the Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't already, please check us out at sportsethos.com. A lot of great information from wagering to fantasy to daily fantasy sports. Obviously, with football starting in a couple of days, a ton of information out there. Lots of free information and lots for our subscribers. You can get our wager pass, which is for our wagering for just $15 a month. For a few bucks more, you can get all of our fantasy content as well. Lots of podcasts. NBA heating up in a few weeks as well, as far as the coverage. A few people I think you should cover if you're into baseball as the season comes to an end down the stretch run. For fantasy, you can check out our MLB Today podcast by Joe Arrico. He's at JoeArrico99 on Twitter. And also, as fantasy football kicks into high gear, check out JP Stico, and you can find him on Twitter at JPSTICCO. And he's going daily with our podcast as well, our Fantasy Football Today podcast. So lots of information, lots of great things going on here at Sports Ethos. So by all means, go to sportsethos.com and check us out. But I'm going to hit the baseball card today. 15 games late. Lots of interesting games on the docket. Some not so interesting. Teams just playing out the stretch, but we're going to go through them all. Different angles, a few different props I'm looking at. So let's get right at it. We start 6:35 in the East with the Mets in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. You get the Mets -225 in the money line, Pirates +185. Run line comes in -130 for the Mets. Total of 8. We get Taiwan Walker on the hill, the righty for the Mets. He comes in 122 and two-thirds innings, 3.45 ERA, 1.21 whip, 93 strikeouts. Gets Mitch Keller, who's had an up-and-down season, probably one of Pittsburgh's better starters, but 124 innings, 4.43 ERA, 1.46 whip, 107 strikeouts. I'm not on this game. I like Walker. I like the Mets. He doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, so I was looking at that prop, but it's not really any value there. Even at -130 on the money line, or pardon me, the run line, that's probably the play, but nothing really for me. If anything, I would lean to the Mets run line at -130. Can't take them as north of a 200 favorite. So I'm going to stay away, but would look to the run line if I had to. Next game, American League East battle. We have the Red Sox in Tampa. You get the veteran lefty Rich Hill on the mound, and you get I see JT Chargois, but then I also see Yonny Chirinos. Either way, it's going to be an opener for Tampa Bay. You get the home Rays at -135 in the money line. You get the Red Sox at +115. Total here of 8. You get the Rays at +150 on the run line. Stay away from me. I like the Rays, the way they've been playing. They're surging. I don't like their offense in general, so it's hard to back at a +150 money line is a nice number. But I don't have a lot of faith in their offense, although they have been playing much better in the last month. So if anything, maybe a money line lean at -135. The Sox are playing out the string. Rich Hill has the ability to throw up a good game, also has the ability to throw up a stinker. Maybe the under at -120, juiced up a little to -120. The Rays, when they go to their bullpen games, tend to throw out a lot of good arms. Red Sox, as I said, playing out the string. Their offense hasn't been doing much, so maybe look to the under, maybe the Rays on the money line at -135, but in general, stay away from me. Next game, 6:45, we get the Miami Marlins in Philly to play the Phillies. You can get the home Phillies at a big -235 favorite on the money line. The Marlins at +195. Total here is 7, so expect the pitcher's duel. And you can get the Phillies at an even +100 on the run line. Jesus Luzardo starts, the lefty for Miami, 65 and a third innings. 3.44 ERA, 1.04 whip, 73 strikeouts. He's really found his form since he's come back off the IL. And going against the Phillies offense that has been very hot and cold in the last month or so, so not really sure what to expect. Aaron Nola, on the other hand, the Phillies ace, 170 and two-thirds innings, 3.43 ERA, 0.97 whip, 190 strikeouts to just 22 walks. I was looking at the Nola outs prop, but it was at over 6 and two-thirds innings. For I think around -120, so he'd have to go 7 innings. He can certainly do that. In his last few outings, he's come close to, and I'm just pulling up his numbers here. In his last, well, his last game, against Arizona, he went 4 innings. Prior to that, he went 9 against Cincinnati, 5 against the Mets, 8 against the Mets, 6 against Washington, 6 Pittsburgh, and 6 against Atlanta. So as much as I think he can go out and dominate the Marlins, the way they're playing, the way they're hitting, I just have a tough time getting his innings or outs prop at seven or more. So stay away from me. Maybe the Phils run line. I think Nola shuts down the Marlins. They can put up a few numbers. Don't know if Lizardo's going to go deep. If he goes 6-plus innings, then they hand it off to a very suspect bullpen. So if anything, I would lean on the run line at an even plus 100. The next game of the night is, here we go, in New York. Now, this has recently gone off the board. The Yankees were playing the Twins. Now, I know there was rain in the forecast, so I'm thinking, I'm trying to pull up another. I know there's rain in the forecast, so there's a good chance this game has been delayed or postponed. And yeah, I'm not seeing it on the board. I had Gerrit Cole over 18.5 outs as the prop, but it looks like this game's probably postponed. I got it at plus 102. So if the game does go and Cole will be pitching, basically has to go 6 2/3 or more. And I think he can easily do that against the Twins. So we're going to skip that game, Bill. 7:05, the next game in the East, we have another AL East battle. The Jays are in Baltimore against the O's. This basically is a coin flip, minus 110 on either side. 8.5 is the number. Juice to the over at minus 120. You can get the Jays at plus 145 on the run line. Struggling Mitch White on the hill, who has not pitched well since he came over from the Dodgers for the Jays. 23 innings, fairly small sample size, obviously. 7.04 ERA, 1.74 whip. 8 walks and 20 strikeouts. Kyle Bradish, on the other hand, 87 innings, 5.17 ERA, 1.47 whip, not impressive numbers, 84 strikeouts, so just under a strikeout an inning. However, he has pitched much better lately. And trying to pull up the numbers, his recent numbers. So in Bradish, in his last two outings, 7 against Cleveland, no earned runs on 2 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Against the Astros in Houston, 8 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. And prior to that, Boston, Toronto, and Toronto average starts. His two most recent starts, started 3 times against the Jays, been hit pretty hard. He's given up in 4 2/3 innings, gave up 3 runs on August 15th. On August 9th, 5 1/3 innings, 3 runs. And June 13th, 4 1/3 innings, 5 runs. So the Jays have gotten to him. However, he has been pitching better lately. The total here is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 120. But what I took is the first 5 over 4.5. I don't think White is going to be able to – I know it's in Camden Yards, so there's not going to be – balls aren't going to be flying out of the park necessarily. But I think White has the ability to go up a few runs, and I think the Jays can get the Bradish. They have gotten into this year. Even though he's pitched better lately, they have gotten to him. So if both teams can get 2 runs – then one of them can pop a third on the board in the first 5 or over 4.5. So I get the over 4.5, the first 5 at minus 110. Don't know which way to go in this game. I do lean the O's behind Bradish just because he's pitching better than White. However, Jay swept a doubleheader yesterday, and they don't necessarily like betting against their bat. So I'm going to avoid that. Just go with the first 5 over 4.5 at minus 110. The next game we have at 7:40 in the East. We have the Reds in Chicago to play the Cubs. You get the Reds at plus 150 on the money line. The home Cubbies at minus 170. Total here is at 8, juice to the under at minus 115. And you can get the Cubs on the run line at plus 125. I'm not really sure which way to go just because of two pitchers in this game. Justin Dunn goes for the Reds, 23 1/3 innings, 4.6 ERA, 1.37 whip on 19 strikeouts and 10 walks. Wade Miley hasn't pitched since early June, so he's only thrown 19 innings, 2.84 ERA, 1.21 WHIP, 12 strikeouts. So kind of hard to judge either of these pitchers. Two teams playing out the string, obviously. The Cubs are just throwing Miley out there to eat up innings as much as he can. No real future, I don't think, with the Cubs. But at minus 170, I really struggle with that number. Dunn was a decent prospect coming up in Seattle. 23 1/3 innings, really hard to judge what he's done. But I do like – I would lean – I'm not taking this game, but I would lean the Reds at plus 150. It's just too much value on that line. I'm not a big fan of Miley. And as much as the Reds are probably kind of throwing out a quad A lineup, I just don't think that he has the ability to garner a minus 170 line as a favorite. Next game, 7:45 in East. We have the Nationals of Washington in St. Louis. You get Washington plus 210 on the money line. The home cards at minus 250. Total here is 8, juice to the under at minus 115. And you get the home cards at minus 120. Sorry, between minus 120 and I actually got it a little early at minus 112. So shop that line around. I get the Reds, the Cardinals run line at minus 112. I would actually play that right up to minus 120 as well. I do like the cards there. Espino comes in 96 innings for Washington, 4.22 ERA, 1.29 whip, 75 strikeouts. Jose Quintana, since he's come to St. Louis, has pitched well. Obviously did very well in Pittsburgh. He's pitched decent, 29 to third innings for the Cards. That's just his Cardinals numbers. Let me try and pull it. 29 to third innings with the Cards, 3.38 ERA, 1.53 whip, 12 strikeouts. So giving up too many base runners. Washington's been hot in the last few days, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. So I'm on the Cards run line. And I'm also on the Cards first five over 2.5. And I got that at minus 110. I think the Cards can get to Espino. They've been hitting well lately. In his last few games, let's see, in his last game against Oakland, five innings, gave up one run. Prior to that, against weak hitting Cincinnati, 5 1/3, gave up three runs. San Diego before that, at San Diego, 4 1/3, three runs. Again, a week before that, also at San Diego, 5 2/3, four runs. So he's been giving up three, four runs in his starts going. His last five starts, he's averaged around five innings per start. So I think the Reds can get to him. I think they're better than Oakland, Cincinnati, and San Diego's offense. So I think they can get to him for three runs in the first half of the game. So I'm on the Cards run line, minus 120. I'm also on the Cards first five over 2.5. Next game, we travel to Kansas City for an AL Central matchup. You have the Guardians in town. They come in as minus 200 favorites against the Royals at plus 170. Total here is 7.5, juice to the under at minus 115. You can get the Guardians at minus 115 on the run line, and that's actually what I took. The Guardians with Shane Bieber. No Freudian slip there. Shane Bieber on the hill. 159 innings, 3.06 ERA, 1.08 whip, and 164 strikeouts. Having a quietly a very good season. Only 8 wins. I think that's kind of courtesy of the Guardians offense, but a very good season. Chris Bubich, on the other hand, 105 and a third innings, 5.47 ERA, a terrible 1.67 whip. So he's giving up more than 1.5 base runners an inning. And
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And just 84 strikeouts with 53 walks. So I like the Guardians. I don't like them at minus 200. I think they can get the Bubich, and I'm willing to take them on the run line with Class A potentially coming in to close out the game at minus 115 for the Guardians. Next game, an AL West battle of the state of Texas. We get the Rangers in town at plus 220 against the Astros at minus 270. Total here is 7.5, juice to the over at minus 115. You can get the home Astros at minus 125. Glenn Otto takes the hill for Texas, 104 and 2/3 innings, 4.82 ERA, 1.38 whip, 55 walks and 80 strikeouts. So giving up way too much, way too many batters with 55 walks. That's not a recipe, especially going against Houston. He throws Framber Valdez, who's quietly having a really good season. 14-4 record, 164 innings, 2.63 ERA, 1.12 whip, 56 walks, and 150 strikeouts. And he has been, I think he's gone 24, 25 straight games throwing a quality start. And I don't see Texas being able to slow them down here. And what the thing, I was looking at the Astros run line, minus 125 is a little steep. Probably doable. If I could get that down 120 or below, I'd probably be on that. But I am on the Valdez out props, 19.5, over 19.5 at minus 110. So he's got to go basically over 6 1/3. He's got to go six and two-thirds innings or more. And his last number starts, he's went 8 against these Texas Rangers last week on August 30th. He's went 7 against Minnesota, 7 against the White Sox, 7 against Texas again August 11th, 6 1/3 against Cleveland, 7 against Seattle, and 6 2/3 against Seattle. So he's hit this in 6 of his last 7 games. And the one he didn't, he went 6 1/3, so he missed it by 1 out. So I see him being able to shut down Texas. As far as the game, I don't see Texas being able to get to Valdez, and I see Astros being able to get to Otto. So I'm on the Astros, maybe the run line at minus 125, but I do like the outs prop for Valdez at over 19.5. Got that at 110, minus 110 on DraftKings. Next game, we head out west to Colorado, and we get Brandon Woodruff and the Brewers in town. They're minus 185 favorites against Chad Kuhl and the Rockies, who are plus 165 underdogs. Total here is 11, juice to the over at minus 120. You can get the Brewers at minus 125 on the run line. I was looking at the first five. I see the first five total, game total at 6 pretty much everywhere. I did see it at one spot at minus 5.5, but it's juiced down to juiced up to minus 136. I might be on that. The reason being is Kuhl's just been getting hit hard, and Woodruff has been doing well, but in Colorado, anybody can give up a few runs. So we get Woodruff, 114 1/3 innings, 3.54 ERA, 1.16 whip, an impressive 136 strikeouts. Chad Kuhl, 112 2/3 innings, 5.19 ERA, 1.5 whips, so giving up 1.5 runners per inning with 87 strikeouts. Now, I was looking at the Brewers team total, first five team total, but it's over 3.5, and that's just a number that's really tough for me to get to. Kuhl has basically given up 3 runs or more in, just trying to pull this up here, sorry, 3, 6, 9, 10. His last 10 games, he has given up 3 runs or more. And 11 of his last 12, he's given up 3 runs more in each of those, other than one game against the Dodgers where he shut them out 9 innings at home, 3 hits, no earned runs. He's given up 3 or more runs in every game, and he has probably averaged just under 5 innings. Hasn't went more than 5 1/3 in any of those other games. So there's a good chance the Brewers get to him. If it was 2.5 or 3, I can maybe get to the first five number, but the 3.5 first five is a little tough for me to get there. So I'm probably going to stay away from that. The Brewers may be on the run line. Their bats have been a little hot and cold lately, and Colorado always hits better at home. I like the Brewers to win, so maybe the run line at minus 125. A little steep for me in a game in Colorado. And I think Kuhl gives up a lot of runs, but the thing is, Woodruff could shut the Rockies down. So that number of 11 scares me a little. Even though it's in Colorado, it's probably priced correctly, but it's not going to be something I'm on. Next game of the night, also out west, we have the Tigers in LA to play the Angels. Tigers come in at plus 115. Angels at minus 135. And I don't understand this line. It's a bit of a trap, which is why I'm staying away. Total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 120. And you can get the home Angels on the run line at plus 150. And Detroit throws Eduardo Rodriguez, 54 innings, 4.17 ERA, 1.41 whip, and 46 strikeouts. So kind of what you typically expect from him. A guy with a high whip, average to below average ERA, but seems to get things done. And Mike Mayer's 38 1/3 innings, 5.17 ERA, 1.38 whip, and 36 strikeouts to go with his 14 walks. I think Rodriguez is a better pitcher. I don't like either of these lineups. The Angels have hit a little bit better in the last month, but I'm really surprised that they are 135 favorites. So I would say there'd be value with Detroit, but I really hate taking Detroit. And plus 115 isn't enough value for me. So this game's a stay away completely. The fourth last game of the night is in San Diego, where we have an NL West battle. The D-backs in town, they come in at plus 150 underdogs. The home Padres are minus 170. Total here is 7, juice to the over at minus 120. You can get the home Padres at plus 135 on the run line. Merrill Kelly quietly having a very good year in the desert. 12-5 record, 164 2/3 innings, 2.84 ERA, 1.11 whip, 142 strikeouts. Very impressive numbers for a guy playing on a weak team and not a huge strikeout pitcher, but having a very good year against Joe Musgrove. 149 and a third innings, 3.01 ERA, 1.04 WHIP, 149 strikeouts, doing pretty much what you thought he would do on the season. I'm surprised they're minus 170 favorites. San Diego's definitely the better team, but their lineup has not been doing what everybody thought it would be since the big Soto trade. And if anything, I think there's some value here in Kelly. I mean, Kelly's proven he can pretty much pitch against anybody and beat anybody, or at least keep the game close. So at plus 150, I think there's value on the D-backs. I'm just not really sure I like going against the Padres. The Padres have been so hot and cold. They've been a tough team to handicap this year. I've kind of taken to just stay away from their games. I like the team. I like their pitchers, but for some reason, they just don't seem to be able to put it together. So stay away from me, but I would lean the D-backs at plus 150 behind Merrill Kelly. The next game is in Oakland, where we have the Braves in town at minus 225. The home A's at plus 185. Total here is at 8, juice to the under at minus 115. You can get the Braves at minus 130 on the run line, which is probably the play for me. And that's mostly because they have Kyle Wright in the mound having a great season, 17-5 record, 154 and two-thirds innings, 2.85 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, 150 strikeouts. So basically a strikeout in inning, 1.13 WHIP, great numbers. And hoping to get 20 wins. He's probably got three or four starts left in him and should be getting close to that number, especially if he's playing teams like the A's every night. Cole Irvin's had an up-and-down season, 147 and two-thirds innings, 3.35 ERA, 1.06 WHIP on 104 strikeouts. So pitching to contact, only walked 27 guys, hence the 1.06 WHIP. But I think Atlanta's just too strong a team. Can't take them on the money line at minus 225. The number of 8 indicates, obviously, a decent pitching matchup. I don't think Oakland can get the right. So if anything, I would lean to the under at minus 115 on the total of 8 and or the Braves run line at minus 130. Second last game of the night in Seattle. We have the White Sox in town. White Sox are plus 135 in a money line. The home M's minus 155. Total here 7.5. Juice to the under at minus 115. And you can get the home M's at plus 145 in a run line. This should be a surprisingly low-key or understated solid pitching matchup. The veteran Johnny Cueto, the righty, comes in. 129 innings, 2.93 ERA, 1.17 WHIP. 82 strikeouts. I don't know how he's doing it. 27 walks and 82 strikeouts in 129 innings. This guy just keeps coming back and keeps doing a good job and keeps the White Sox in the games, although judging by his 7-6 record, they're not really helping him a whole lot, as usual with the White Sox this year. On the flip side, righty Logan Gilbert comes in 155 and two-thirds innings for the Mariners, 3.35 ERA, 1.21 WHIP, 42 walks to 142 strikeouts. He slowed down a little. But I would still have to back them here. I just can't take them at minus 155. I like the way Cueto's pitching. I don't like the White Sox offense, especially going against righties. And stay away from me. 7.5 is probably a reasonable total. The White Sox offense is very, very hot and cold. So I can't really trust them to put up three or four runs to do their half of the bargain. So I'm going to stay away from that total. Last game of the night, I see now a pitcher for San Francisco. The Giants are in L.A., and L.A. has absolutely owned the Giants this year. Hence, the home Dodgers minus 330 favorites, the road Giants plus 265. Total here, 8.5. Juice to the over at minus 120. You can get the home Dodgers on the run line at minus 150. They have been covering the run line at phenomenal pace this year, but minus 150 is a big number. Looks like John Brebbia has just been announced as the starter for San Fran. 56 and a third, 3.04 ERA, 1.26 WHIP, 47 strikeouts. Tyler Anderson having a great year, 13-3 record, 147 and two-thirds innings, 2.68 ERA, 1.02 WHIP, and 114 strikeouts. Again, this is a stay away from me. The numbers, I like the Dodgers, like them to win, probably like them to win fairly easily. Anderson has been pitching well. He hasn't given up. His last few outings, he's given up 2 earned runs or less in his last 3 outings against the Mets, Miami. Gave up 3 to Kansas City before that, shut out San Diego over 7. Got hit hard by these Giants for 5 runs over 5 innings back on July 2nd. But then at Colorado, they came before that 7 innings and no runs. So he's faced the Giants twice this year against, again, once that 5 inning, 5 run game, and prior to that on July 22nd, 6 innings, no earned runs. So I like the Dodgers. Can't really touch even a run line at minus 150. So a few plays what, one, two props. If that Yankees Minnesota game goes, I'm going to be on the Garrett Cole over 18.5 out prop, a few sides in first five. So hopefully you got something you like on the board tonight. Before I go, though, quickly, I do want to remind you of our partner here at Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com and use the code HOOPBALL20, that's HOOPBALL20, when you check out, you get 20% off your order for free shipping. And again, if you are into fantasy football or even some wagering advice, check out our fantasy football podcast run by JP Sticko on Fantasy Football Today. And again, it's at JP Sticko, STICCO. And as the baseball season wraps up, check out our MLB Today podcast run by Joe Arrico. And he's at Joe Arrico, O-R-R-I-C-O, 99 on Twitter. So hopefully you got some plays, some leans, some interesting games tonight that you like, and we can make some money, and we will catch you tomorrow.